The sixth reading is from the Gospel of John and explains how God has come into the world through his Son, Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
You may have noticed that that reading is printed on the service sheet that you were handed when you came in. And that would be great if you could have that out in front of you, if you'd like to look at that, as we're going through that for a few minutes now. A reception teacher is walking around her classroom, where little Lucy is hard at work drawing, with an expression of deep concentration on her face. Lucy, the teacher asks, "What are you drawing?" "God," came the brief reply. The teacher paused. "But no one knows what God looks like." "Well," said little Lucy, "they will when I've finished." If you could draw God, what would he look like? What kind of God would you like to have? If there was such a thing as a God, and if you could imagine and create, not to design a baby, but to design a God, how would you make them? Let me suggest that the first characteristic we would give to our designer God is that we would want a powerful God. A God who is bigger than us and bigger than our problems. Think of a little boy in a playground who's being picked on by older kids. What does he want? Well, surely what he wants is an older brother or even a father, tall and strong, to wade into the playground and send the bullies packing. We'd want a God who was powerful enough to sort out cancer and global warming, as well as our finances and our unfriendly neighbours. But is it enough to only have a powerful God? Would that be enough? Is that all that we would want? How about an example? What about something really powerful? What about Google? Google's powerful. Google has worldwide reach, and it knows everything about you. But is that a comforting thought? Can you know Google? Can you speak to Google? Can you shake hands with Google? Can you have any kind of relationship with Google? Does Google know you? Does Google understand you? Would you want a God like that, who was powerful, but impersonal and distant and slightly ominous? Surely, if we could have a God, then we would want a God who was both powerful and personal. I think there is built into humanity a desire to connect with something that is outside of ourselves. You might know Sam Sparrow's song, Black and Gold, from a few years ago. As far as I'm aware, he's not a Christian, but in that song, he speaks to a God who may or may not be there, and he says, "If you're not really here, then the stars don't even matter. Now I'm filled to the top with fear that it's all just a bunch of matter. Because if you're not really here, then I don't want to be either. I want to be next to you." I love that song. I think he sums up there our desires for the kind of God that we would want if we could have. Not just a powerful God, but a personal God. A God we can relate to, a God who is knowable, a God, in his words, that you can be next to. Well, the passage of the Bible that we've just had read to us from John has some very good news. It says, in summary, that there is a God, that he is both powerful and personal, and that he has come into our world and become knowable. We're looking especially at four words from John chapter 1, verse 14. It's printed out there in front of you. Those four words, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. The Word, you may have picked up in the reading, that refers to Jesus. And in the reading, we had his divine CV, if you like, read out to us. Title, God. Address, heaven. Previous work experience, creating the universe and everything in it. Core strengths, pre-existent, unequaled in value and beauty, and all-powerful. It's not a bad CV. And the great shock of the passage is this. The Word becomes flesh. It says that he made his dwelling among us. Literally, it means he pitched his tent among us. He came and set up camp where we were living. The all-powerful, eternal Son of God came and lived on earth as a man in Jesus. He didn't just come down for a divine gap year. He didn't come for a constituency tour. He didn't just occupy a human body even, but somehow, remaining fully God, he became fully human without anything going missing or getting muddled up. It says that God in Jesus became completely like us and got up close and personal. Imagine if I had an ant farm in a big glass tank. How could I communicate with my ants? How could I talk to them? How could they know me? Well, I could talk to them. I could give them little drops of sugar water, perhaps. I could put interesting leaves and bits of bark in their tank. But to really communicate with them, to really allow them to know me, I would have to become an ant. I would have to get down on their level and rub feelers with them as an ant. That's a bit like what Jesus has done, becoming completely like us, getting down onto our level. The Word became flesh. God entered the world in Jesus so that for 33 years, if you went to the right place, it was possible to meet God and eat with him. It was possible to shake God's hand or rock God to sleep. To befriend God, to betray God, to make God bleed. And the Bible says that he did. That Jesus didn't only share our flesh and blood, but our experience as well. It says he had a hard life. That he was so much like us that he experienced hunger and thirst. He experienced pain and sadness and the grief and sorrow of loss. He had persecution and betrayal. And then he went further and had flogging, mocking, and horrific death. The Word became flesh. That means that we can come to God as a person who knows us and a person who understands us, because he's been in our shoes, and he walked in them not just a mile, but all the way to the cross. It says that Jesus became so much like us that he could even take the blame for us, for all the ways that we haven't been who we want to be, let alone who we should be. Just think, isn't that the kind of God you would want? A God who's personal, a God who cares enough and is humble enough to become one of us. A God who understands us and who knows the difficulties of life as well as the joys. A God who goes so far as to bleed for us. That's the kind of God that I would want. The Word became flesh. Christmas is very good news. Now, all fine, you might be thinking. But just because something is good doesn't make it true. Just because something is attractive doesn't mean it's reliable. I don't go around believing fairy stories because they sound nice. But an implication of the Word becoming flesh, coming into the world, is that Jesus had a real part in history. That God has left an imprint on human history. He really lived in real places alongside real people. And those people walked and talked with him. They laughed and cried with him. They touched him. They smelt him, I'm sure. They felt him. They saw all that he did, and they heard all that he said. And their conclusion, recorded for us in historical documents, was that here was God, walking among men as a man, completely unique among all the people of history. And lots of us here in this room can testify to the reality of Jesus, because we've come to know him for ourselves and found that he is real. How is that? Well, this passage says another thing, and that is that to those who receive Jesus, he gives the right to become children of God. Think back to the first Christmas that we've heard about in the readings. When the Word became flesh, a baby was born to a teenage mum, no one special, in a smelly, unhygienic stable in the back of beyond. God came into the world quietly and humbly, not demanding but inviting. Wonderfully, at Christmas, God opens himself up to us, to be received or not to be received, to be believed or not to be believed. But this passage says that to those who do receive, he gives the right to become children of God. Think back to little Lucy, drawing her picture of God. What a difference if she was to say, "Yes, actually, I do know what God looks like. I do, of course I do, because he's my father." What if she didn't just know about God, not just know what he looks like, but knew him as a person, had a relationship with him as a loving father? Think what a difference that would make to her. What a difference that might make to you. That's the claim of Christmas, that God is real and that he became flesh. That the desire that we have for something outside of ourselves that is both powerful and personal, those are signs that point us towards Jesus, the central character in history, who invites you to know him and become a child of God. I'm going to say a prayer now, and then we're going to hear the choir sing a lovely modern carol about the arrival of God on earth. Maybe if listening to that, you've been aware of a need to maybe think again about Jesus and about Christmas, then why not use that time to do just that? Let me pray, and then I'll hand over to the choir. Almighty God, thank you that through Jesus, it is possible to call you Father. Thank you that you sent your Son into the world. Thank you that he became one of us, became exactly like us, God with us. Thank you that he experienced all that we experience and that he took the blame for us so that we never have to. Please help us this Christmas to be clear on who Jesus is, to believe what he says, and to receive him and be children of God. Amen.